Well, good morning. This is Jane Schroeder. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Today, I have the most amazing Rob Townley. We're going to chat back and forth, and we're going to do a little series of podcasts. And I noticed I haven't put a podcast out for, well over a year and a half, nearly 2 years. And I just felt that real nudge from Holy Cheeky Monkey, Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about frequencies and sound and remote sight, dimensional viewing. What does this all mean? So let's talk, you know, about frequencies. So Rob Townley.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thank you, Jane. Good morning to you. And if you're listening on the other side of the world, and good evening to you. And I had a funny thought before we came on. I thought, what if someone's living outside of time and space? Then we can't say good morning or evening to them, can we? We have to say good existence.
That's incredible. I love
that's
that.
That's weird, isn't it? Believe me, it is possible. Well, I've got other things to talk about that have just popped into my head, actually. But yes, I'll stop. Okay. So it's that whole thing about dealing with things or living outside of time and space, which is really, I find quite fascinating, because I was thinking about it a while ago and I'm thinking, what happens if you pray? Say you pray for something to happen, right? And you think, right, here's a typical example, and I'll try and explain this clearly. Sometimes if I go away and I get back late at night, because our road gets really clogged up with cars parking, because I live on a residential street, and sometimes you get back home late and you think, I'm going to have to park in the next street down, it's ridiculous, especially if I've got gear and I've been away playing or stuff like that. And so what I do sometimes is, when I'm a few minutes away, I think, oh, please God, please Lord, I just pray there's a space outside my house so I can just park the car and unload. Now, when I get home and there's a space there, I haven't just seen someone leave, right? Someone didn't, as soon as I turned into my road, no one got in their car and left. So God had already answered the prayer before I prayed. So by praying, I was interacting with God for a past event that already happened. So you're actually acting outside of time and space when you're praying. Does that make sense?
It's like framing up the future,
yeah, and things have already happened, but yeah, this was like almost like going back in time just to get things, to ask for something to be done before you'd asked it, because it would have had to be done before you asked it to be done. So you're kind of, yeah,
I love that.
That's quantum.
There's that scripture about, you know, caring about the lilies, the lilies of the field, the birds, you know, Yahweh looks after them all. God's got it covered.
Yeah, yeah.
We sometimes just forget that, don't we, in the busyness of life?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That. Yeah, yeah.
Really cool. It's awesome.
Yeah.
This last week we had some situations where it just seemed like the impossible was the impossible. Nothing was moving, nothing was shifting. It was just one of those weeks where I just thought, I'm trying to frame up the future here, and this seems to be backtracking on everything. But as I took time to just pull back and try not to work through my endless list and just sit back, and my lovely place is I like to walk the dogs. It's mindless. I try not to have my phone on. And it might be half an hour, might be an hour. But in that time, I remember who I am. I situate who I am. And it's always out in the countryside. It can be bucketing with rain and freezing cold, or a beautiful sunny day like today. But that time, that being outside of time, being in nature, being outside, centers me, grounds me back to, well, you always got this covered. And so... yeah, I love it. The week turned out really, really well in the end. That's good.
People will be able to see me, obviously, because it's audio only, but I'm audio only. So I'm sat here pumping my fist in the air, because that is a perfect lead-in to what I wanted to sort of share with you this morning. Yeah, it's great. And that's about being in that environment, right? It's being, you said you felt relaxed, you had that connection. once you're outside in the countryside. Now, this is interesting because I was at the coast. I was at this lovely little went to see this lovely little seaside coastal place. This was last year, just for an hour or so. And I was walking along the beach, and I just thought, "Oh, I've got to head to the sea. I've got to head to the sea." And once I got close to the sea, I just thought, "Oh, yes, that's better." You could hear the sound and the kind of the smell of the ocean, and but it was the sound of the frequency of the ocean that was drawing me there, right? Which is why we love the coast so much. And I was saying to God, "Why? Yeah, but what's the attraction with the ocean? Why am I feel like I'm home? Why am I drawn to this place?" And this is a remarkable thing he said. He said that over time, man has infiltrated the natural world and the environment. Man has infiltrated the forests, or a vast percentage of the forests. Man has corrupted that area. He has started to silence the wildlife in that area. That natural environment that he created has been affected by man over the years. You know, he said, but the sea, you cannot tame the sea. The sea is exactly as it was when I first created it. Since the beginning of time, the dawn of time, the oceans have not changed. Their sound have not changed. It has been impossible for man to corrupt the ocean and change the sound of the ocean. So we're being drawn to the original creation.
Yay.
Yeah. And it was like, wow, that makes perfect sense. 'Cause I love the sea. I just can't wait. You know, every time we kind of think about where we're going to go on holiday, I think sea, coast. It's like, without question, nope, sea. I want the sea. You know, and that's what it is. It's that being brought back home, brought back right back to that essence of creation. And it's interesting what I was going to say, the message I was going to have for people today was try and find those places of retreat out there. Try and find those places of wilderness. If there's an area where you live which has been trying, well, untarnished, it's going to be hard to find places without traveling far for some people. But try and find those remote spots, because there you'll find the essence of what Yahweh created in the first place. You have those little glimpses of what Eden might have been like, for example, just in those little moments, you know. And I think that's really important.
Well, I go and walk my son's dogs, and we've got a house we're doing up to sell, and it's down the road from, it's called the River Dee. It's a massive swirling river. You wouldn't want to fall in there. And last week, on Tuesday, we went to watch the tidal bore come up all the way from Liverpool. You can see it coming up right the way under the bridge, and it goes on for quite a while. And I got some great photographs. It's beautiful. But then we've had torrential rain again, and the Dee has completely broken the banks. It's flooded all the meadow area where I walk the dogs. And so yesterday we went for a family walk in the afternoon, and it was starting to subside a little bit. And I had my 3-year-old grandbaba with me, and we bought him like proper waders, where the wellies are attached to the waterproofs, and they come up over his shoulder, these straps, because he's in flipping all the water, all the puddles, whatever shoes he's got on. It was so deep in some of the puddles. I mean, it was going over the top of my Wellingtons, but he was in absolute ecstasy, literally. He fell over and it got soaked to the skin, and we had to strip him off and stick him in the pushchair and get the baby out and put the baby in the front carrier. But he had like 45 minutes of absolute glee.
Yeah.
And he was just like an outdoor boy. And we'd been in the morning to a meeting we go to, and I knew he was not a good day to take him. He was not himself. He was not happy. He didn't want to be in there. And in the end, I said to him, my daughter, "Let's go. Let's just go." We took him out, stuck his waders on, stuck him out in the open, and he was happy, happy, happy. It was just a day. He didn't want to sit down. He wanted to be outside, and we had so much fun. I was absolutely soaked. I went over my wellies. I loved it. And it is that drawing to the water. And there's that scripture talks about the still calm waters of our heart and our soul, and the cardiogenosis in the aortas, of the four chambers of the heart, the gateway, the door into Yahweh. And I just think, yay, come on.
Well, even paddling, how many people, it's, when you think about it, it's a bit of a silly act. Oh, you go down to sea, oh, I'm going to take my shoes and socks off and go for a paddle. It's like, why? Like, what? You wouldn't do it at home. I wouldn't just sort of get a bucket of water and go and stand out in the garden now with my feet in the bucket of water. You know, it's like, again, it's that people don't realise it's that connection with where they came from. It's that one-on-one interaction with this substance that Yahweh created. And I don't think we spend enough time thinking about water. You know, if you touch it and look at it and watch as it just evaporates into your hand, for example, it's just like, oh, is that gone? It's just like, wow, what? And then you can put other water, you know, mix two bits of water together and they become one. It's like, that's crazy. What's going on? You know, and it's like, wow, there's something in that. There's a lot in that, you know, that we haven't really connected with. I think there are a lot of mysteries to be discovered in the deeps, in the depths, and in the frequencies of that substance, whatever it is, you know. There's, I think we take it for granted, you know. Even now, there are many, many species to be discovered in the depths of the oceans. You know, they keep coming up with these weird things. If you've ever seen programs where they go down, dive down deep, and they see all these weird jellyfish things, all these neon creatures that are down there, glowing lights and things like that. It's just literally like another world down there, you know. So there's much more to be discovered, I think.
I think you're spot on, Rob. And, you know, I remember years ago going to Egypt and going snorkeling every day and did some deep sea diving I'd never done before. I absolutely loved it. But even if we can't do that or, you know, do these things, there's you know, just enjoying that time out. I have to walk the dogs every day or have a walk because I go nuts. Because we sit a lot at the computer doing stuff and admin and teaching online. But I have to have that time every day, even on the awfulest weather. I always have to have some time and go out and have a walk. And loads of excuses now. I've got grandbabies, dogs. I don't need an excuse, but you know, I can say, oh, no, I'm not doing that call. I'm doing going out.
Yeah.
And what does it say in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. Mm. What you're saying, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah.
He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, but the oceans aren't particularly quiet. If you stand by the ocean on a rough, stormy day, That's another experience altogether. That's just exhilarating beyond measure. It's just crazy. But there is still a calmness and a stillness about the sound that produces, you know. There's just something about it that's, I don't know what it is, you know, something.
And in the UK, you don't have to go very far to be near the ocean or a river.
No.
Or we're really blessed. We're surrounded by water. And I've noticed that we're constant to in and fro in. Across, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, even a stream, you know, if people can't get to the coast, even a stream or a little river, there's still something in that, you know, something in that which is there to be discovered for you individually as well, not as a whole, but individually. What's God saying to you through that, in that moment, you know? What's he saying in that moment? Listen, you know, listen. You know, put your hand in, feel what it's doing. You know, interact with it. You know, what's he saying? What's the message? You know,
I must be fated to live near water because I lived in Wales right by a canal. When I was a child, we lived right by a canal. Where I stay now, the canal is literally 20, 25, 50 yards away from where I'm sat. We walk up and down the path. Where our other house is, where my son stays, it's the same thing. There's water just down the road. It's incredible when you think about it. And I'm just so thankful of you, Rob, that, you know, there are places that are untouched, there are places that man hasn't invaded, that you just go and be still. And when I was a child, the canal here was full of eels. You could fish and catch rudd, but there's nothing. Now all these years later on, I've come from back from Scotland to England. They've got carp in the canal. You can see these beautiful, shiny, orange and yellow carp as you walk along there. They come up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Down.
No way.
I was breeding them in there. And I like, it's totally changed the eco of the, canal life. This fish. It's awesome.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on and underneath your feet and at your fingertips, really, in these places. You know, when I was a young boy, I used to love going to local ponds. You know, you just sit there and look for, you might see like a newt or something like that, or a frog or a toad. You're just looking for these things. Unfortunately, all our local ponds and wildlife places have been built over with housing estates and stuff like that. You know, again, another example of man pushing in and expanding and reducing down natural habitat. It's a shame, really. So we need to kind of encourage. Yeah, here's the thing. Look, we need to start encouraging, get wildlife back into our gardens, however small your space is. You know, where I live, you know, I've got some bird feeders out. We get lots of different birds. We get squirrels coming round and things like that. But where there are some local trees that people have had in their garden that they've cut down, and I just like screaming it out the window. Don't chop it down. What are you doing? You know, because they want to expand. They want to put an extension on the house. So the lovely tree that was in the back garden is like, boom, that's down. I think, just really grates me, things like that, you know. Expansion and progress. It's like, I want to hear birds singing. I want to hear wildlife. You know, I don't want to see another tower block or, you know, we need to start encouraging that back again. You know, especially things like bees as well. In this country, the bee decline has been massive. You know, I remember when you used to walk around in summer, there'd be bees everywhere. But these days, they're really in decline. It's really sad, you know. We need to start shifting things around, you know, spiritually as well as making an effort to introduce these wildlife. We should be spiritually claiming the land around us, because for God and his kingdom to thrive in, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. A few years ago, I saw a load of trees for sale one Christmas Eve on my way down from Scotland to England, fruit trees, and I bought them all. They were a silly amount of money. They're bearing fruit now after 3 years. And we had to uproot one and plant it somewhere else. But my daughter's just put them all over the lawn in the front. She's not bothered. She said, I'm having these trees. they're good for the soil, and they're just good for our food store as well. And where I stay, they are just completely eco nuts. They got trees everywhere. They got a little pond at the minute, even though they got the canal at the bottom of the garden. And you've got all the male frogs waiting there, croaking every morning. I'll go and see them in a minute before I go out. I'll be going out later, and they're waiting for the females to come, and we're going to have loads of frogs born here, and there'll be loads of newts, and all the grandkids come, and they all watch them from tiny frogs born grow.
Yeah.
Pop out. So even if you just have like a plastic, looks like a pond in your garden, you don't need a very big one. This isn't a big one.
No.
Lay their spawn and enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not difficult.
No. If you put something there, the wildlife will find it.
Yeah,
be sure they will, you know.
Oh, that's so good. I love that, Rob. I love your heart for nature and countryside. And, yeah, I get it. It's just, you're right. It's governing it in the spirit, isn't it? And
yeah, absolutely. But it's also engaging with what you've got as well. So by that, I mean touch, feel. Yeah, engage with whatever you've got in your garden, no matter how big or small, or no matter what is there when you go out for a walk. Start touching things, start engaging with things. Because I've said before that, and I've demonstrated that plants and trees, they all have melodies. They're all putting out a melody. They're all communicating with each other in this amazing network. So try engaging with that, you know. Open up your imagination. If it sounds a bit wacky, you know, open up your imagination. Whilst you do it, go and touch something, go and touch a tree, feel the leaves, engage with it, say hello to it, you know. It's not wacky at all. You're communicating with something that Yahweh created. So he created us as well. So we're part of this. We are part of this, still part of that network. with plants and animals. So we should pay more attention, I think.
When I was young, my dad used to touch everything. When we went to somebody's garden or we went out to the park or anywhere, he was always touching something and things that got smell like mint and lavender and sage and all these different things. And he'd be like, smell this, or he'd get a leaf. And I look back and think, gosh, he said his heart and his life was he always felt closer to God when he was in his garden, sifting his hands through the soil and touching plants.
There you go.
He passed it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we've had that down through the ages, inherited it now. And now I'm teaching Arthur that. I touch things and he touches the plant and he smells. Does he what it smells like? What do you think it is? And I just think it's so simplistic. People don't do it.
But they'll spend hours and hours touching their phone, on their phone, scrolling up and down on a phone, right? Which is interesting because that's taken us away from that integration with nature, which is an interesting thought, isn't it? Now, let's not delve into hows and whys or wheres of mobile phone and technology and how we should be using it, etc. I don't want to dig into that, but it's an interesting thought, isn't it, that we spend so many times holding our phones, but there's no integration with anything Yahweh has created, you know. But how often will you sit in the garden and hold on to a plant and engage with it? No, I won't do that. That's silly. You know?
I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter lives right by Chester Zoo and it's lovely. And even though some people don't agree with the zoo, but they've expanded massively. They've really moved on from having like cage things, small things. But the gardens are just something else. You know, the smell, the aroma, the different things they've grown there.
Mm.
I just enjoy going around touching all the plants, never mind seeing any animals or going on the park or
yeah.
The kids. And I'll see a plant that I really like. And my daughter might say, I really like that when I look online and buy it for a birthday. Or it's just beautiful, just enjoying nature and just enjoying what's right under our noses, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've spoken before about what, you know, think about Adam, for example. Let's take him. What must he have experienced? Because there was certainly no corruption. There were certainly no mobile phones or technology to disturb that environment. So what must he have experienced? You know, it must have been just out of this world. The sensory interaction he must have had with other plants and animals. Innes must have been off the charts. I can't imagine what it would have been like for him. Mm-hmm. You know, it just been like overload, sensory overload. You know, and we've lost a lot of that. We've lost more or less all of it, apart from the deepest, deepest, deepest parts of the Amazon, for example, where no man has yet been. Places like that that are still clinging on for, you know, independence, and it's a losing battle.
Yay, Yahweh, we love you. We know you've created this beautiful space around us and we're going to enjoy it.
Mm.
And engage it in our hearts and our spirit and for the intent it was purposed for on the face of the earth, our original intent. Well, thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
I love this chat. And next time we're going to talk about a bit more about frequencies and the coherence that Rob has a device now that can actually plug into plant soil and hear it sing. It's beautiful. The sound and the frequency is lovely. So tune in to our next one.
Yes. Bye for now.
Thanks, Rob. Bye.
Bye-bye.